Hey guys, I know you guys have heard of Riverside Wine and Spirits, and if not, stop being a fool. Hear about it right now. So, Riverside Wine and Spirits is located right there on Manufacturers Road, right as you get off the interstate, heading into the North Shore right there, as you come across Old Giotti, however the hell you pronounce that. But yeah, so they're right there, right under Old Giotti Bridge when you get off the interstate. They've got all sorts of booze, liquors, spirits, what have you. They've got anything you need for a party, especially for those upcoming Halloween parties and Oktoberfest parties, because they also have beer. They've got plenty of beer. They've got a whole wall of tap handles, an entire wall of tap handles, so you can get whatever you need when you need it, and you can get a growler filled. Also, nearly every Saturday, if not every Saturday, they've got a winery down there, giving you cheese, giving you tasty treats, giving you some wine to try, telling you about the wine, and they do the same thing with beer. They do that on Friday nights from 4 to 6, and you can get your growler filled at a special deal, learn about the beer you're buying, and it's fantastic. Not to mention, they've got fantastic, fancy cheeses and cigars. It's a great place to go. You should check it out. It's down there, like I said, on Manufacturers Road. Hey there, guys. Tanner here, and we are back at it for another episode of the Brew Chat podcast. And we've got Shelton Brown joining this week, and he's in the middle of a production of his own podcast series that he's coming out with a little closer to 2018, but it's called The 12. And if you've ever been to the Yellow Deli, you know exactly what it's about. It's about the 12 tribes. That's the cult, the organization, the club, whatever you want to call it, that's behind the Yellow Deli. And a fun fact that we learned during this, they don't eat their own food. That's fucking weird. So there's that. So he's here to talk to us about the Yellow Deli, about the 12 tribes. We ask him some questions. He tries to answer some of which he can't necessarily, not yet at least. But yeah, it's a great episode. We also have some great beers this episode that we take him through. So ease on back and put on your tinfoil hats, because here's episode 102 of the Brew Chat podcast with Shelton Brown. We are here with Shelton Brown. It's Shelton, right? Yeah.
With a T.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was not Sheldon, like a soft T or not. But, yeah. Thank you for joining us. We just kind of roll into things here like this, so, you know, and then I go back and add a intro later. But you have a podcast. We're going to get to some beers here in a minute, but you've got a podcast that's coming up, right?
Yes.
Called The 12.
Yes.
And it's all about the 12 tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And which isn't just Yellow Deli, I'm assuming.
No, yeah. It's primarily about the 12 tribes, but I'm here to inform people that the Yellow Deli and the 12 tribes were one and the same, essentially. So,
okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that's their little shell company, or yeah, whatever you want to call it.
their front.
It is.
It really is.
Literally,
yeah,
what it is. I don't do like a standard interview. It's more of a conversation, but what got you to go stir the pot here on the Yellow Deli?
I think it was primarily because people were already kind of stirring the pot. This is definitely not something that's new. There's been a lot of reporting done already on the 12 tribes, and out of curiosity, I wanted to see it for myself. And just like most people, I went in kind of blindly. Just out of curiosity, wanted to know who they are and what they do. And then getting in there, you come to find out that it's much, much more than common knowledge would have us know. So I didn't seek out to stir the pot, but I was already intrigued by what's been said. So,
well, I feel like it's inevitable that you would stir the pot on something like this.
Yeah, yeah. That is true. Yeah.
So just pure curiosity got you digging into it.
Yeah.
Okay. And before we get into
Well, and you said you didn't know how much you could talk about, and I don't want you to spoil because you've got stuff coming out in December, right? That's when you said.
Yeah, that's going to be an introduction into the whole thing. So.
Well, yeah. I feel like not a lot of people know. I was surprised. I went reading up in preparation for this, and I was surprised to find I didn't actually know that it started here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And I can't remember his name, but like their Jim Jones.
Eugene Spriggs, yeah, that's the founder.
Yeah, he's here, right? Yeah.
He was born here, but currently we believe that he is in Hiddenite, North Carolina. There's no exact knowledge as to where he is today.
Is that kind of purposeful on his part?
Yeah, I think so. So if we knew where he was, we would find him, or at least I would love to track him down and have a conversation.
Well, the picture of him that's online looks a lot... I mean, like an old gray-haired, bearded old man. It kind of looks like a guy that's down there at the...
You're saying Eugene looks like someone that's already in the 12 tribes?
Yeah, there's somebody that's down there that... okay, turn my phone off.
For shame.
Yeah, for shame. David Begno did it again, though. That unprofessional... whatever. There's a guy down there that looks quite a bit like that dude.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's him, but what I thought it was initially.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. I'd be down there right now. I would say, I got to go do something.
He's kind of grouchy, too, which made me, I was like, I bet that is him. Yeah. I bet a cult leader would be grouchy.
Yeah.
I think they got to be, like, charismatic and opening.
To the people inside.
It's funny though. He does have a point. The word charismatic is often used to describe Eugene Spriggs, especially in the early days. Because I mean, when you're doing something like he's doing, recruitment is everything. So charisma goes a long way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that totally makes sense. You got it. Yeah.
So. I moved down here 2011, didn't know anything about any of this till one day we went to Yellow Deli for lunch, but work lunch, and everyone just sort of was like, oh, they're in like this sort of like religious cult thing, don't like get talking to them too much. And I was like, that seems odd, we don't have a lot of those just openly out there in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And the food was good, the place certainly looks interesting. I mean, it's an awesome location.
Yeah.
Are the 12 tribes actually like, are there 12 tribes, so to speak?
The 12 tribes is a representation of, and you would, some biblical knowledge would be helpful, but the 12 tribes is a representation of what they believe that America is becoming, and it's becoming the new Israel. So they have a map of the United States, and in each they have it sectioned off where there are different 12
Hunger Games style districts.
There's different districts where when all of those live in essentially perfect community, that's when the second coming of Jesus would be inaugurated.
Okay.
So,
all
right. Yeah.
So it's not really... these headphones aren't doing shit.
Am I supposed to taste this, by the way?
Go ahead and taste it.
Oh, okay.
So we have a beer that we've poured while we've been going over this. Brian, just so you know, it is number 376917, category 30A, spice, herb, or vegetable beer. And this is a brown ale with peanut butter. And I got to say, it smells peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You can smell the peanut butter in there.
You definitely can. Wow. And it tastes like it, too. It's bready.
It smells really good.
And it's peanut buttery. And, it's thick. And I'm going to eat some of this dark chocolate.
Eat
here.
Some of it right there. Yeah.
I'm abstaining from this one.
Just to give you a background here, there was a homebrew festival, 2 weeks ago now? Like, last weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two weeks ago.
So not like 2 days ago, but a week before that. Mm-hmm. Homebrew Festival, these guys entered. Well, Alan did.
Alan entered.
Right? Yeah.
And placed, what was it, third place?
I got third for Paleo.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
Very
and
proud
so
of you.
So we've got a lot of extras that we're just kind of going through as, and this is one of those. So.
Yeah, you send in two bottles and they give away what they call the seconds. So it's a complete crapshoot of... You know the style and you don't know anything else. It's was it a good one? Was it a bad one? Is it going to taste anything like the label? Or is it a complete,
I feel
did
like
they completely waffle it.
Yeah,
I feel like this one nails
I'm
it.
I gotta say, I'm enjoying the gambling aspect.
I think you should at least taste this. You don't need your own, but you should at least try it. I know you hate peanut butter, but in order to properly
you're
hate
not allergic
it, like,
to peanut butter.
No,
I just hate the flavor.
Okay. No, like, he's just a
cook
bitch.
Some in peanut oil. I'm fine.
You should taste it just to because if it doesn't taste like peanut butter,
why don't you tell me if it tastes like peanut butter?
I think it does, but I think you should try it just in like I don't know. To be part of the team or anything.
Oh God, that smells like a Reese's, which is great for a lot of people.
Nobody has ever said that with that tonality to it. God, that smells like a Reese's.
Like it's a crime or something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just like I eat, even as like a baby, I'd eat like dirt before going anywhere near peanut butter. Like, I just don't like the peanut flavor.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like I said, peanut oil, like it's not an allergy thing. Fry stuff in that all day. It doesn't taste like
peanuts.
Oh my
word. That's a really unique. I don't even...
Yeah, I've never had something like that
before. Really... That does taste like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
In liquid form.
Yeah, it's crazy. Good job, number 376917.
Yeah, I think they nailed that one.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Are you a big beer fan?
I guess I kind of used to be. I mean, I started out... they had it at the Casual Pint. That was my place. I loved that place, and then they moved to 153 under new management. There was this Icelandic company. They sell it. That's right.
Yeah.
That was my favorite brand. And then they had an ale. It was like a chocolate kind of. It was a Java chocolate kind of ale.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it. A stout. Fantastic. So, but now sometimes I just settle for a Yingling.
Yeah.
You know, something simple. You know, like this right here, I love this.
It's
good sipping
the
beer.
Yeah,
yes.
These Founders All Day IPAs, and they ship them in these giant 19-ounce cans for $2 for $3.
I like this.
That's pretty nice.
This is like something you would just, like if you're cutting grass, just drink, you know?
Bull beer, lawnmower beer.
Yep.
So, your beer knowledge, like, with that, is it... Where would you rate yourself there in the beer knowledge?
What do you mean?
Like, because we're not experts. We're kind
of. I'm not either.
Yeah, we record ourselves sort of on this journey. And
you know what? I think we're experts by now, at the very least.
Do this every episode, right?
Yeah.
We're definitely up there.
Yeah, we do this all the time.
No, that's right. You're like, a beer, it's from like Iceland, Einstock. Now we drink a lot.
Yeah, no, we're good at this.
We're very well-rounded.
I'm too familiar.
We definitely know more than the average person, for sure. I wouldn't call us
you. You probably know more than me. I'll be safe to say that.
I have gotten to the situation where I've run into several occasions where somebody's like, whoa, that's 11% beer. Watch out. I run a beer podcast.
We have been getting warned recently, and we're just like,
And it really is like a beer podcast.
Okay, yeah. Here's a beer.
Because it is, though. I mean, I'll have a little bit of a buzz by the time we're done, and this will eventually, it'll be like Alcoholics Anonymous in like 10 years.
And then we're stuck talking about the 12 tribes. That is the worst AA meeting ever. Oh yes.
They should start their own AA. That's how they would get people.
You would not
survive. Scientology does that.
Yeah.
They're big on...
They do AA meetings?
they have a lot of sobriety programs that they will use to attract people looking for sobriety. They need a new family, need a new support system.
Yeah.
Hey, come join Scientology.
Mm-hmm. Do the 12 tribes have something like that? Like, are you allowed to drink or...
No,
like,
there's absolutely no alcohol.
What about
weed?
Yeah. I was trying to think. Like,
okay, so that...
Got a giant
what about
bong
marijuana?
That's an interesting conversation because if you go to the Yellow Deli, you'll find papers and... magazines or they call themselves the hippie crits.
Right.
That was back when LSD was like your revelation of God.
Yeah.
So it was this
was
big
it Timothy Leary and
I'm not sure who that is. I just know that at some point people involved with the 12 tribes, they were associated with the hippie crits, but well, they call them the hippie crits, because they weren't living really to the standard of the 12 tribe, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, to my knowledge, the 12 tribes has completely disown that. So they're all natural. No, not even marijuana, because they think it's a manipulation of your spiritual encounter of God. So. Huh.
So why do they have a bong on their wall?
That's a reminder to stay strong, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know.
Look at it. It's fully packed at all times.
It's just a vase. Just a decorative vase.
Just recycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, the whole, because I was reading on it, and from the, and I could be entirely wrong on this, but from the way I understood it is, yeah, you're 100% right on the, like, there's the LSD hippie crowd.
Yeah.
And at some point in the 60s, there was a huge crowd somewhere, and again, I don't know as much about this as I should be to be talking about it like this. But Timothy Leary was involved, and he's a big advocate of hallucinogenics and things like that and expanding your mind and consciousness. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of people loaded up on a bus and went cross-country. If you've seen the movie Across the Universe, they sort of parody this when Bono's in the movie. But they just basically tripped acid and rode in a school bus across the country, just being, doing a bunch of drugs and having this religious experience. And the guy doing it, they looked at him as sort of the Moses. So... again, could be completely wrong, but I took it back, like, if this was going on back then, this, it was Eugene, right?
The, yeah, the Eugene Spriggs, yeah.
Maybe Eugene was part of that crew, and then he founded the 12 Tribes, like, he had his own LSD religious experience, was like, I need to find the 12 Tribes.
From what we know, I don't think that there were any hallucinogenic drugs or anything like that involved. Yeah. Eugene Spriggs came to Christ through the Jesus movement. The Jesus movement is responsible for far more religious activity than we could possibly calculate.
So what is this Jesus? Outside of just like...
And see, this is something that I need to know more about. But the Jesus movement, it started through the 70s, and it was just this widespread evangelical movement to become more like Christ or become a Christian. And that sort of spawned more smaller... similar groups. It's where we have the Calvary Chapel movement. You may have heard of Calvary Chapel Chattanooga. That's a result of Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale, which is Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale is a result of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. That's where some hippies would literally camp out for days just to hear someone preach.
Yeah.
And then from there, we have Campus Crusade for Christ. That was born from Bill Bright. He was a student at UCLA, I believe. Mm-hmm. And from there, that became an internet is to this day one of our more premier international Christian ministries. In fact, I have friends who are on staff there. And then from there, we have, and in fact, and I'll say this, and I've already said it, but Campus Crusade and the 12 Tribes actually do have some sort of a relationship. Which,
and what is Campus Crusade? It sounds like a college sort of
initiative. Yeah, it was a it was a campus ministry. Okay. It started at UCLA, at least I'm pretty sure it was UCLA, and then they have it here at, in Chattanooga at UTC and Lee, it's everywhere. And then out of that came Eugene. Eugene accepted Christ on a beach in Southern California, and then from there he went to, I think it was, he went to Wyoming, and he felt convicted to... share Christ with these people called the Ski Bums, and that's where he met his fourth wife, Marcia, and he converted her to Christ, and then they moved back to Chattanooga, and that's where really the 12 Tribes began.
When about did that happen?
This, okay, this was, I want to say late 70s, 78 to early 80s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's when Ben Hayden was still a pastor at First Presbyterian, and Eugene Spriggs was a an attendee at First Presbyterian downtown.
Okay. And I was, and they had an initial Yellow Deli, if my understanding's right. It was,
and it was here. Yeah.
Yeah, it was here where the Pickle Barrel is now.
It's right? It was originally called the Areopagus, and that's
Areopagus.
Yeah, that's a biblical term that the Apostle Paul used to kind of have these common theology forums where people could come in and ask questions, that sort of thing. And so they formed what was then called the Areopagus, and that would house drug addicts, prostitutes, drug dealers.
So and, he did sort of get on that rehab game a little bit.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And in fact, I mean, we know that he housed people in his basement. In fact, there's a woman that I've been trying to get in contact here. Eugene lived in her basement to do this sort of ministry and started. I'm going on, but to answer your question, yes.
That's all really interesting.
No,
you can keep going on.
I've been going there. My first experience with the Yellow Deli, which I can't even tell you when they opened. I remember I came back from college in probably 2007 or 8, maybe 9.
Mm-hmm.
And came back for a weekend, and all of my buddies all of a sudden became obsessed. They're like, yeah, you got to go to this this deli. It looks like a... like someplace in Hobbiton.
Yeah, it looks like it looks like a hippie version of the Shire.
That's the first Hobbit reference I've heard.
Yeah. Really? That's the first thing I thought when I walked in. I was like, it's like this is like the bohemian end of like Bag End or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
It does though, man.
Looking like, for a bunch of hobbits running around. Yeah.
It's like Aragorn like sitting in the
like I expect. Yeah.
It really does look like the Fellowship of the Ring.
There's tables around the trees. Like the back end looks like Rivendell. It's like the front end.
And then Gandalf comes out with fireworks.
Yeah. I expected my server to be a wizard.
So I went in there.
Oh,
I was just,
man.
Like I imagine most people are, is you go in there and you look around and, holy fuck, this place is...
Oh, that's awesome.
All right. They got like a man-powered fan.
Yeah.
Some dude on a
bicycle. It's like the bicycle kind. He's like having it on a treadmill. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what kind of sandwich I'm going to get, but I bet it's going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And it is. Yeah. It's a great sandwich, but they don't eat their sandwiches, do they?
I can confirm that for the most part, they don't eat their own food. They serve at the deli. They make their own food, but it's more for disciplinary reasons. They do it so that they claim to be humble, to be made low, I guess, so that whatever they offer you at the Yellow Deli, that's their gift to you, and whatever they serve themselves. Mm. They don't even use, I can say this. They don't use forks or spoons. They use chopsticks to eat as utensils at home.
We've discussed the use of chopsticks before on the show.
Yeah.
So they've got a whole thing. So is Eugene just posted up in some silver castle somewhere, like eating
with a fork?
Like, the greatest food on the planet with a fork?
Man, you guys are asking all the right questions. and it's hard.
In December.
In all seriousness, his relationship to the rest of the tribe, or the community, they call it the community, as a whole, is that Eugene is not bound to the laws that have been set in place for everybody else. So he travels the world with...
Sounds like classic cult leader.
Yeah. And he travels the world with credit cards in his pocket. When people are fighting for shoes, he has stockpiles of shoes, clothes, you know, pretty much, you know. Mm. I'll say this. He started out to make a distinction between modern Christendom and to make it to what he thought truly was biblical, but in the end, he's just only become the hypocrite that he rejected.
So he's gone full High Sparrow.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I said he's gone like full High Sparrow. I guess Game of Thrones.
I'm not much of a Game of Thrones person.
He got the Game of Thrones though. That's not being a Game of Thrones fan and getting the reference is still that's impressive.
So, I'm not trying to spoil everything. Can you tell us what's with the spoons and why they got to use chopsticks?
It was like I said, it was just more disciplinary reasons.
If I'm reasons. One of them and I, like, can I make you a sandwich and you eat it?
Say that one more time.
So we both work at the Yellow Deli. Uh-huh. I make a sandwich, but it's like a gift, so I can't eat it. Can I give it to you and you eat it? Then you also work there, but like I made the sandwich and I'm offering it to you.
That may be just something that, honestly, I don't know.
Loophole.
Yeah.
Well, so you.
I see what you're getting at, but it's more of like a. It's.
Like they're not worthy of those tasty sandwiches?
I mean, when I went, but here's the thing. I think they knew I was coming, or they were preparing for me to go. Because I did go to one of their Friday night gatherings where the public is allowed to go.
Okay.
And we
considered going to
that. We ate grilled mackerel, but I brought my camera, and I told them I was coming. So I kind of feel like they just prepared for me to be there so that I could walk away and say, oh, the food was fantastic.
Mm, right.
The food was amazing.
Oh, the food's really good.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
but that's where we get lost in the story of, well, is that really what they're like? Right. Because that is the story fundamentally.
Well, yeah, I've always, not to interrupt you, but
no, yeah, you're good.
I've always felt going down there, they're all super nice, but it's too nice. It's weird. It's, it, I get a weird vibe going down there. Even before I knew it was ran by a cult, and I just went out, I assumed they were Mennonites or something like that. I was like, oh, they're really like creepy nice, like, oh, hi, you know, that sort of. And so once I learned it was a cult, I had to, that just flipped a switch for me. I was like, okay, yeah, there's something going on here. If like, there's no way these people are that nice.
So what will they approach somebody at the restaurant and start like just talking to them about their whole, beliefs and everything? Like what? I guess what I'm trying to say is no one's ever tried to recruit me, and I'm feeling a little left out.
Right, yeah. So I felt the
do
same
I just
way,
not
actually.
Have, like, the look, or do they just not do that during business?
It's the mustache.
For the record, on Saturday night, Tanner wanted to go full mustache for his birthday. Oh. So Jared and I and Randy went down to mustaches.
Yeah.
Usually there's a beard.
I had a beard. I just shaved it recently.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the first time, like, my chin has felt...
You know what? I feel really bad because when I try to grow a mustache, I end up looking like a wannabe Hitler.
Because oh, just, like, go all the way?
I know that sounds funny, but I can't grow the middle here. Underneath my nose, it's blank, so it's just like...
Anti-Hitler.
Yeah.
I literally can't grow it, so it's always like this big... It looks like someone cut me with a razor.
I want to be nothing like him.
Yeah. So maybe a wannabe Hitler wasn't
so assuming
a good
my actual
reference.
Look is like a beard. Am I just not their type?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
I believe you if you said that.
No.
What are the prerequisites for recruitment? Because I've been there a few times, and because their food is great, and I know they have like literature about their. Is cult the operative word? Is that what we're calling it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So. Yeah. I know that, so they have booklets and stuff about it, and I asked for one, and I flipped through it, and but they never were like, they didn't continue the conversation. They were like, yeah, we got books over there.
Yeah, they won't do that.
Okay.
Well, I think they learned their lesson. They got ran out of town out of that other one, right?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, they were condemned by, gosh, it's so hard not to. Okay, they were.
Well, I'm assuming there's some stuff you, not just spoiling. Your stuff, but you can't talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I'll tell you if that ever happens. But it's they were condemned by a number of religious leaders in Chattanooga, including Covenant College, Tennessee Temple University, and in fact, they told their students, "You cannot go back to the Yellow Deli," because at that time, Eugene was interested in becoming an apostle, and so.
When, what does that mean?
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
That would mean that he was convinced that he was a direct pipeline to God.
Ah, okay.
And so that apostleship would give him authority over, this group that he was trying to inaugurate.
Okay.
So, yeah. And the local church body was saying, yeah, that's just not going to work.
That's just not how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Especially not down here in the South.
No.
Now, so yeah, and then they.
But isn't that interesting though? Because it creates a kind of awareness too that, maybe the churches that we are surrounded by, maybe they aren't that bad. Mm. Because if you think about it, especially when it comes to now, granted, you don't have to be a fan of the local church, but it does give you a sense that there are checks and balances in modern Christianity that I do believe are absolutely essential that people just don't take a look at because that's, in my opinion, what Scripture teaches that Eugene just totally rejected. And it shows an evidence that while we may not like what what the local church is about or what they believe, it does give you it gives me some consolation that, you know, there are people out there that that do believe in proper authority structures.
One, from what you're saying, when they came together, are you talking like cross-denominational situation? The churches in the area came together.
It wasn't so organized. I think it was in my understanding, it was not as like a.
Like a coalition.
Yeah, an ecumenical society or something like that. They weren't all gathered together in some meeting. It was just the people that Eugene was interacting with were the ones to say, we can't associate with you.
Yeah, and then that inevitably like just choked his business down enough where... he left, or were there literal pitchforks in this situation?
I don't know. Yeah. And that, I think, is just left to history. What I do know is that Eugene felt that it was necessary to leave because he felt that God was absent. So that carries us on into a national movement that is today the 12 tribes.
How far does it spread?
It's global.
It's global.
Yeah. They have locations in Germany, the Czech Republic, and Japan.
Wow.
Australia as well. Yeah.
Are they all Yellow Delis?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all under the same umbrella.
Shit, like, franchised out.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Oh shit! Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So how would you go about, like, if I woke up tomorrow and decided I wanted to join the 12 tribes? How would I? Would I just go down there to the Yellow Deli and be like, "Hey,
I'm down.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. I like it. Sign me up." Like, is it as simple as that,
The most part,
levels you climb?
I won't give too much detail on this, but there is an individual in the 12 tribes right now who left a bad situation. In fact, that's the common story of most who are in the 12 tribes today.
Oh, it's kind of like that with a lot of cults.
They. I am hesitant to use the word that they prey on people like that, but that's who are most receptive to their message.
Their ideal candidate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, just think about it this way. These cults are providing what we long for most fundamentally as human beings: community, safety, and a sense of belonging and purpose. Mm-hmm. And those are things that are so good, yet they've been so easily manipulated in these sorts of situations. So it's heartbreaking to hear. But there's a person in the 12 tribes today in Chattanooga who left a bad situation, and they were a ideal candidate for the 12 tribes. And to this day, they're still participating. There's actually a number of people. There's a woman in there now. She's been in there since 78. People have been in there for a long time. I recently just did an interview with a man who'd been in the 12 tribes for 23 years. People tend to spend a long time in there.
And I'll give them this. They don't seem like one of the worst. I mean, there's definitely been some bad cults, you know, just in the past
30
years. Yeah, Jim Jones, like Scientology there now. But it doesn't seem like the worst. I mean, it at least seems like it's providing some sort of...
That would depend on who you ask.
Yeah, and I'm coming from this very inexperienced with it, but... So with that being said, it's kind of a question for everybody. Is there such a thing as a proper cult?
A good cult?
Like a good cult?
Like a lawful good or chaotic good?
Yeah, I guess what makes a cult? Like, I mean, we get together once a week and we're like... Beer is good. We like good conversation, like beer cult. Like,
but see, the difference is that you get to go home.
Okay.
There's like a
they don't. It's 24/7.
Let them think that.
You know. Well, I bet you understand what I'm saying. It's a sense of you are secure in doing this, and you feel no intimidation because you know it's going to be over soon.
Yeah.
For people in the 12 tribes, that's just not the case.
Okay. So, and you may not be able to answer this question. Are there people in there right now that want out? And they feel like they're stuck?
My best guess is yes.
Yeah.
I don't know them personally, but the resources that have been made available to me, yes, there are more than likely people who are... currently, because that's the story of most people who have left anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. They came to a realization and saying, holy shit, I've got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, you know?
How, on the off chance any one of those people would be listening to this, do you know how one gets out?
That's
a resource or somewhere to go or contact?
That's a good question. One of them would be that they just pack up their stuff and leave. Did you say resources made available?
So somebody in there is like hearing this and probably getting a finger wag going like, oh, these guys are liars. But like, they're like, I do want to get out of here. Yeah. Like, any advice you can throw out to be like, here's how to get out of this if like you want to do that? Or like contact this group or people. I don't know. Just looking for a ray of sunshine.
There are a number of resources. In fact, if you just do a simple Google search, back in the 80s, you would find that the cult awareness networks and stuff like that were huge during that time, because out of the Jesus movement, like I said, in my opinion, the Jesus movement bore just I got to be really careful on how I say that. It spawned a significant amount of bad as it did good. And from that bad came these groups that eventually became high control groups, just like the 12 tribes. And then grew out of that these awareness groups that were just like, hey, this is totally unethical what they're doing. And so these cult awareness networks would come in and do investigations, even interventions, and try to you'll find reports of kids being taken from the 12 tribes that the 12 tribes consider kidnappings, but this was also in light of reports of child abuse and stuff like that. So
is any child abuse actually ever, like, is all that just alleged child abuse, or was there actual child abuse?
I can say that there were personal accounts given, but I want to refrain from giving any details on that.
So you mentioned that they got ran out of town, but clearly they're back. Like, is there a reason they're drawn to Chattanooga? Or was it just the building rent is low? Or
So what I do know is that in a timeline that we have on the 12 tribes, or Eugene's life, there were houses given. There were houses purchased by the 12 tribes at that time that they now live in. Three houses, their former fraternity homes, and they renovated them to use for their community. Let me say this. I think it was Eugene that left, but it was the community that stayed. It was him that was not welcome, or at least he was condemned by religious figures. But it was the community that stuck around.
Yeah, because even the Yellow Deli is like a house.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah,
been like
it looks like it's built like one. Yeah, and if you ever do go, their houses they look almost identical to
the
Yellow
Deli.
Yeah,
that is wild.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the community stuck around after that, and they basically just thought, like, okay, yeah, he had to leave. He got a little crazy with it. Like, if we just dial it back, we can come back here in a couple
that
days.
That part I don't know. I know I'm giving you it's generalizations, but
no, it's fine, man.
There really are some finer points to the story that I still haven't honed in on. But for the most part, that's what we know.
So
sweet.
So going back to...
I appreciate your interest, by the way.
I should say thank you for that.
Yeah. No, definitely.
I'm already, subscribed to whatever comes out. I can't.
We're on it. We've been talking about the Yellow Deli and this whole thing for... Since I knew it existed.
Really?
It's just been so interesting.
I don't know if you've been watching it, Alan, but we've been plugging through Leah Remini's Scientology.
I'm not familiar with Scientology. That's something I'd love for you guys to talk about. I'd like to hear about that.
The operative word is cult.
Yeah, the operative word is a cult.
The A&E series that I've seen, or that I'm wanting to watch on Scientology.
We've been plowing through that since we're all season two. And I was always interested in cults before that. Jim Jones, all that. It's fascinating to me how somebody can lose themselves in themselves so much to, get to a point where you feel like you have no purpose and you have to join a cult.
Yeah. Right. And then the next thing you know, it's been, 35 years and $500,000 later.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit, my family's gone.
Yeah. It's fascinating. Yeah. But I'll break down Scientology. Let's drink this beer, though. Good friend Sarah brought me a beer back from Israel, and I thought it was a perfect beer to drink when we're talking about the 12 tribes. Can't read anything on this bottle.
Looks like it's in Hebrew.
Beer Bazaar with a backward B.
That does sound.
And it's been.
It's pretty good.
Brewing since 2013.
What's the flavor content? What's
it's
in there?
It's an amber ale. It's 4.9.
Tough to tell.
ABV.
It kind of looks like orange juice.
Yeah, it's kind of cloudy.
It's very cloudy.
That's all I could tell you.
It's got flavor text, maybe. We just can't read it.
No, it's got flavor text.
That could just be like where it's bottled and brewed for all we know. Like, that could be the boring stuff.
Yeah. It could, yeah. It's got numbers. It's got 137 on it.
It's super easy to drink. It's not hoppy.
It doesn't really have a scent either.
Malty. No, not really. It's there. It's a drink.
It's kind of a dusty scent.
A little dusty. Okay.
Yeah, like a it tastes earthy like, scent, but it's yeah. dusty.
I know this flavor, but it's tough to pin down.
Yeah, that's kind of flat.
But it's got head, so like, but yeah, it does. It's like.
It's not a bad flat. Israel. It's just not very poppy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been on a plane and then
landed. Yeah, it's like sort of like powdered cement.
It's easy to. It's easy
in a good
drink,
way.
Though.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
No, I know this flavor, and it's killing me. That's not bad at all, though.
Hey, are we live streaming?
Mm-hmm. So, oh, we've been live streaming this whole, so everyone can see our mustaches.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Right, cool. Great. I'm glad we kept.
At least I hope this will be. I hope nothing's
like,
happened.
View
to
of
it,
us, so. And then, like, I had to go to the doctor today. My like medical record picture now is me with a stupid thing on my face.
Yeah.
This is overall a good beer, though. I like the Beer Bazaar.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Yeah. It was not bad.
Yeah, it's okay.
I won't lie. It probably won't be my first choice, but.
Well, that won't be your choice.
No, but for
again.
Coming like halfway around the world, it could have been worse.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever had just a straight up beer from Israel before. So
that was
I've
first.
Had some
so
of the,
yeah,
the Hebrews, but I don't think they're from Israel.
No, I assume they're not.
And I haven't had many of them because they're way overpriced.
I assume they're from like Long Island.
Yeah, right. As close as you're gonna get.
Yep.
As you go down a little further, there's a little bit of a butt smell.
A butt smell?
Yeah.
I prefer not to smell that. Mm.
Oh, but like in a good way?
Oh, we had this homebrew on last week that straight up had like a sweaty butt crack.
It was just, and that was a terrible beer.
Well,
that
literally smelled just like sweat.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Mm.
There was one, we try and like, you know, split them up, take them all down, but there was no finishing this thing.
Mm. Really?
No, we dumped it.
Didn't even feel bad.
Well.
So I have a lot more questions.
I know.
How long do you guys typically run for?
About an hour and a half.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How long have we been talking?
About 40 minutes, 30 minutes or so. Yeah.
I should preface
40 minutes, dead on.
I know.
Yeah. I should preface with, usually we do these on a Tuesday, but when Tanner was like, we're having a guy over who's going to be talking about the 12 tribes, like, I know, like, I got plans later, and I was like, I'll push it down to the wire. I got to hear this. Like, I am hooked. I'm fascinated.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it.
Okay, so if going back to leaving, if someone
Eugene leaving, or
oh no, someone
just
getting
anyone,
out,
just,
yeah,
oh, okay,
someone getting
okay,
out, yeah, yeah, yeah,
okay.
Sorry, not how do they treat you when you're leaving? Because like Tanner and I were saying, we've been watching this.
You guys gotta stop asking all the right questions. Seriously,
we're journalists. Here,
these are fundamental questions.
I just drink too much.
It's the beer talking.
I would imagine not well. Or like...
Well, the reason we ask is we've been watching this Scientology show. And in Scientology, I've been trying my damnest to be declared a suppressive person. But I'm too small, I guess. They did their background check on me and they were like, ah, whatever.
Yeah.
But no, like if... say me and Jared been doing this podcast 100 years. He's a Scientologist. I don't know anything about Scientology, so I come to him one day. I've known him for a while at this point, and I'm like, dude, I read this shit about Scientology that's crazy on the internet, because he's not allowed to go on the internet as a Scientologist. And
you're a Scientologist?
No, not really. I'm just saying hypothetically.
Oh,
this is very hypothetical.
I got to get the hell out of here.
I didn't know you were at a recruitment meeting.
Yeah, right.
Hypothetically, I come to him, and I'm like, Jared, I know I've known you for a minute. And I didn't know much about it, but I read some crazy shit about this religion, Scientology, that you're a part of. And, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
There's all this. He's going to defend it because he has to.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scientologists have to do these daily, like, thetan-level readings. And they're basically, like, he would have to confess that he talked to me. He was like, I talked to my friend Tanner, who's not a Scientologist, and he started saying bad things about Scientology. Yeah. And then they're going to tell him that he has to distance himself from me and declare me a suppressive person, which means he can't talk to me ever again.
Right.
And so that's sort of how they keep people in Scientology. So is there something like that for the 12 tribes? Like if you leave or start, or what's their protection, I guess, is what I'm asking, to keep people from within the tribes, both looking outside of it, but also if people do leave, do they have some sort of method of, like, outcasting them? Like, you know?
I know the answer to this question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Coming December.
Yep.
Let me try to give you at least some substance.
Yes.
They. Oh, man. Okay, so part of your question was, what do they do if you leave? Or yeah, like, how do they keep
do
you?
Do they outcast you? Like, if I were part of it, say, for 15 years and I left, not that I would necessarily want to, but I left after 15 years, could I stroll back in there and get a turkey sandwich?
No.
Yeah.
Because it honestly, it depends on Eugene. Eugene has such control over these people in this group that the deciding factor is what kind of mood is Eugene Spriggs in. That's how decisions are made fundamentally, and that's not uncommon though,
right?
Because these groups are known for at least high control groups. That's what they do. So to answer your question, there is use of coercion or religious manipulation.
Mental, emotional.
Yeah. And I can't go into deep detail, but to give you an example, if you were to come to me and I was a tribe leader and you said, Shelton, I need to leave, my answer to you is going to be, you are condemned to hell. You will have bad things happen to you if you leave. In fact, I say that I can't go into deep detail because of the stuff that I'm putting out on the podcast, but I could send you a link to a YouTube video by a woman named Kathleen. She did a documentary from this location called the Common Sense Farm, and these people were coming together, or excuse me, she would go and document people who are part of the 12 tribes, and in the video, and it makes no sense because you would think that these people would try to convince me that this is the way I need to go. They have a bus called the Bus of Peace or something like that.
They have a boat, too. I learned that.
Eugene has used a boat many times. Bus would go around the country and they would go and campaign, or they would go out in twos or go out in pairs, as scripture would reference. But anyway, this guy in the video, she's interviewing a man. I don't know how long he's been in there. But at one point, he looks at the camera and he says, we want people to, and I'm paraphrasing, we want people to fear leaving this place. That opens you up to an entire world of, now that someone looking at that may say, well, you know, of course, this world is batshit crazy, you know.
They're trying to protect us,
And see, that's the thing, though. It's these subtle, nuanced ways of saying, we control you. There is nothing good for you outside of this. But if you were familiar with Mormonism, Mormon leaders have said in the past, there is no hope outside of the Mormon church. Mm-hmm. Yet that's exactly what the 12 tribes is saying. So this is nothing unique, but at the same time, it's catastrophic, mm-hmm. you know? Right. So I can't answer your question that, yes, there is a form of coercion that is used to keep people from leaving.
What I imagine, like, you know, that sort of spiritual coercion, if you're getting people in there that maybe off some 20-year drug bender, or, you know, maybe they just had no other options in life. I don't know. But you get people in there, generally people that have fallen into those situations in life generally aren't the smartest cookies in the box. So when you start throwing, like, yeah, if you leave, this is a major sin or whatever, they're going to believe it. Like, they're going to stick
without
around.
Without question.
Especially if you've been born into the 12 tribes. So these people are, you know, they've lived their entire lives. All they know is the 12 tribes.
Yeah.
So it's easier. And that's why they're so big on procreation. They're so big on having sex and making babies.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like, numbers or percentages of people born into it versus people recruited? Like, 60% of them are born into it.
4% I actually don't know those numbers. What I do know is that their recruiting numbers are declining.
Okay.
That I can say. If that answers your question.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I had to be here so I could ask just every question I could think of.
So once I'm part of the 12 tribes, I've gone, told them I'm interested, they accepted me or whatever. what then? What do I do? Like, is that too vague of a question?
No.
Bounce off your question. Like, yeah, say we wanted to go join tomorrow. Like,
we sign up.
In a house. I've got this apartment here. I've got belongings and assets. What do I give those to the church?
Okay. The primary practice is that, and this is public knowledge. Most people know this, or at least a lot of people do. So you join the 12 tribes. Mm-hmm. You would then surrender everything you own. It's contractual. Everything that you own becomes a part of the 12 tribes.
So do you actually
the
actually
shirt off your back does not it no longer belongs to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Say that one more time.
Do they actually have you sign a contract?
I say that in a figurative way. I wouldn't be surprised if there is a contract that you sign in some way, because if you were to leave, you take nothing with you. So there has to be some legal, if not legal.
That would be their safety net. We got this idiot.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you have a car. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever asset you have, it belongs to the tribes.
Medications, like would they say, like, it those glasses matter. Are yours, you don't need them?
It does not matter. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So I got and then after that, you would be baptized into the community to show your commitment to Yeshua.
Yeah. How long is... I mean, they probably don't just baptize everyone who comes in and wants to... Like, how long is the... I don't want to say indoctrination, because that's more like a lifelong thing, I guess. But like the onboarding process, before you're like a full member, I guess. Yeah,
make it sound like we're getting a new job or something.
Yeah, it's not. You're already recruited. The initiation.
That I don't know.
Okay.
I would literally have to be there to see it.
Okay. You go. And
although I will say that I do have a resource that will come out in the podcast that I'll be able to give more details on.
Okay.
So.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know if you, like, have to, you know, pray in their temple or whatever for a year, and then you're, like, a full-on initiative.
No, I think it really is just there has to be an act of, which is interesting, because they claim to follow Jesus, but at the same time, their idea of becoming a member is more about what you do rather than what you believe.
Right.
Or you're willing, and fundamentally, this whole thing comes back to Eugene. This is as far as I'll go with saying this about Eugene.
Okay.
For anybody listening that has any sort of biblical understanding, this is coming down to foundationally what they think about Eugene. There are names that he's been given. And this goes to your question. Mm-hmm. How does the onboarding process look like? It comes down to if you are willing to acknowledge that Eugene is Elijah. And Elijah was a prophet, a major prophet in the Old Testament. And was a prophet in the Old Testament. And they believe that he is going to be used to bring about the second coming of Jesus, Eugene Spriggs. So, which is funny, because there are stories of people who have asked members of the 12 tribes, do you believe that Eugene Spriggs is Elijah? And they say, well, that would be a dumb thing for me to say, but that's exactly what they confess.
Right.
So it really comes down to, are you willing to commit your life to Eugene as the direct pipeline to God?
Right. So, I didn't know if, like, I go in, I'm like, yeah, sure, definitely, totes. If they're like, you can't, like, you've been here for 20 minutes, like, we gotta, like, vet you a little more or something. And then, speaking of Eugene again, you said, you know, you think he's somewhere, or people generally think he's somewhere. Is he, like, on the run legally? Like, I can understand he's like, I'm a super powerful cult leader. I want to, like, keep my location on the down low. Like, are there warrants out for him? Like, is he a wanted man?
Concerning, no. That actually, I don't believe so.
Yeah, I get him being, like, more mobile, or, like, not trying to have his location pinned down. But I didn't know if legally, like, he's got warrants out.
He claims to travel for ministry purposes, but as far as I'm concerned, there are no... legal records being held against him.
He's chilling
at this time.
On his boat.
Right. Yeah, and
but
that primarily is...
That's at an
I will say this, and this is public knowledge too, so I can share this. He is from what I understand, battling dementia. He was born in 1937, so he's relatively old.
Yeah.
Okay. His wife, Marcia, I think she's like 10, maybe 12 years younger. So she's a little bit more together mentally.
And that's his fourth wife.
Yeah.
And he's been with her ever since this whole thing started.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. So inevitably, he's going to eventually die. When that happens,
oh my God. Here he comes.
Is there someone in line
of succession?
Dude, you asked the best questions, dude. Good job for you.
Yeah.
Find a good start.
I'm assuming Marcia, but I'm also assuming that no one thinks he'll die.
That's true. Well, I don't know.
No, they know he's going to die. There's already talk about who's going to replace him.
Is that allowed? Or is that like a taboo topic?
Here's the thing, though. If they replace him, they put themselves in a position where they have to represent their idea of who they think Eugene is. Okay. Who is worthy to take Eugene's place?
Brad Pitt in there if they wanted to, of just like.
Sorry, say that one more
time.
They
could get Brad Pitt in there if they wanted to. Like, he's our ideal.
No, Brad Pitt is far too liberal.
example, though, like, they could throw anybody just like. That's what we think Isaiah should be.
I don't know. It would have to. There is definitely going to be a ceremony of sorts, and I honestly really want to be there.
I kind of do too.
I'll stick with hearing about it weekly or monthly or however often you put out an episode.
And see, that's the thing. Let me comment on that. For anybody listening, this is not like my. One thing I wish I had done before was actually already had the idea for the podcast, because I started this as a photojournalism effort.
Yeah.
And so whenever I started, it was obviously public. And then the public response was, oh my God, no one's done this before.
Yeah.
In some measure, people have investigated the 12 tribes before. In fact, cameras have been planted in some of the houses in the 12 tribes. By journalists. Yeah. It's been done before, and somebody. I keep looking up at this picture of this woman.
That's Micah's mom.
I'm so distracted.
Best friend's mom.
Oh man, best friend Micah. I am sorry to your best friend's mom.
No, she painted it.
Oh wow, fantastic, wonderful. It looks like I'm on the Titanic right now. I'm sorry. That's what this feels like. I'm sorry.
A total mind game.
I've looked at her many times.
Look at the tits.
Oh, so man. Sorry.
It's going to be awkward when Micah comes over here.
He's got
the other one, right?
Yeah, oh, that's right. He does have the other one.
That's right. There's two of them. But we didn't know. He had this hanging above his fireplace for probably 5 years before he found out it was his mom.
Oh, my God.
And I had this for about 2 years
before
we found that out.
Gosh, that would be so embarrassing.
And at that point, it's a staple, and I've always thought his mom was a fox. So
she's pretty foxy.
From here, she looks fantastic.
Yeah, she's super fox, yeah.
Anyway, so let's get back on track.
Just a quick aside about Micah's mom.
She has, gray hair. From what I can see. To answer your question, it was more. What were we talking about?
Line of succession.
After he dies, they're planning on something happening.
Yeah. There would definitely have to be a ceremony of sorts for them to get back into the groove of, okay, so we're exposing how we feel about Eugene. Because it's going to be the same standard for the person to follow. More than likely, I don't know if this is the case, because they are a patriarchal tradition, so they don't believe in women having sort of leadership roles. His wife, Marcia, would then be in subordination to whoever the new male leader would be. Mm-hmm. Well, not like maritally. It would be more just authoritarian.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
So.
Do they have kids do Eugene and Marcia have kids that are like?
Yes. Excuse me. Eugene has a son, and he is not a part of the 12 tribes.
Huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if they have a relationship or not? Are they pretty estranged from each other?
Because of his mental state or
just
in general?
Because of the church in general?
Yeah. Wait, between who? Eugene or?
Eugene and his son that's not part of the
church. Oh, I can't speak to that.
Okay.
Not right now.
What about... you seem like you had a question a second ago.
I got more questions every second.
All right.
He's had the best questions so far.
I do have one trapped in my fist here. So eventually, like we were saying, he's going to die. There's going to be succession. What happens in the Church of the 12 Tribes when you die? What's the afterlife like?
Oh, my God. You've got to stop, man. Dude, I was just talking about this today. Okay, all right, here we go. It has been said that, okay, this isn't a fundamental part of the story here. They believe, they actually hold to a Mormon belief that when they die, they will have a planet to govern.
Word? Okay.
So,
like each person gets their own planet?
Yeah, supposedly it's a relationship to Mormon doctrine that you would inherit some piece of the galaxy and you would subdue it, much like the book of Genesis, God said, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth.
Right.
They believe that with their righteousness, they would somehow, and I'm being very roundabout because I don't know the exact details, but they would inherit some portion of the galaxy of the universe, and they would subdue it.
Hmm. Seems like hard for like a one-man job.
Yeah.
What about, you mentioned a second ago that Eugene, it was Isaiah, right, that they believe that he is?
No, he's Elijah.
Elijah, yeah. So do they also, are they mainly Old Testament on stuff as far as the Bible goes?
Absolutely not. No, they, and not to cut you off, yeah, but they are hardcore New Testament.
Ah, okay.
At least in the sense that they love, if you were to go, you know what, I will even challenge you to go and just inquire.
Yeah.
I promise you, the book of Acts will be quoted to you more times than you can count.
Okay.
Acts chapter 4. Acts is known to represent what they believe the true church is supposed to look like. And in some ways, I actually believe this too, yeah, because it's where they get the idea of living in community and having everything in common. The book of Acts chapter 4, just look it up.
Okay.
And if you go to the Yellow Deli, just ask them, well, what's the book of Acts about? You know, and I promise you, you will have an earful to hear.
Okay.
About, that's where they get their idea of living in community.
So, okay. So with,
in the New Testament,
with him being like the literal embodiment and whatnot, do they delve into much with the Revelation end of time stuff as well?
Or? Yes. They are extremely apocalyptic, at least in their theology, and they do believe that their gathering together would be the would be an aid to the second coming of Jesus.
Okay.
It's incredibly complicated. Just even as I'm sitting, it is so hard to just get someone to understand, because I hardly understand.
Yeah.
I promise you, even after this is over, like I'm still like I don't know how to get a common.
It's like the final piece you're missing is actually buying into it. Then without that linchpin,
yeah, like that really is the truth. It really is. Sense. I will never understand it unless I become a part of the 12
it's
tribes.
The same thing with lots of other cults. Like this whole Scientology thing that Tanner and I have been watching. Like, okay, yeah, they get these people to believe this stuff, but like, how? Mm-hmm. Like what? Like, I get that you say they're looking for family and all that stuff, but I mean, okay. I guess my question is, if I have all that stuff,
community, well, belonging,
community. Yeah, yeah. I have all that stuff already. What are they offering for me who already has all that stuff?
It would be, okay, so you would, are you a Christian?
No, I'm a Unitarian Universalist.
Okay, so it would require you to look at, take an observation of the church, and much like a lot of people who don't like the church today, they would say, there's just too much hypocrisy for me to be a Christian. That's where they get their motivation from.
Okay.
They look at the modern
else.
Yeah, they look at the modern church and they say, "Wow, this is so fucked up."
Yeah.
Excuse me if I
no,
yeah,
that's
right. Okay. Yeah, fuck all the time. Okay. We drink a lot. Do they curse? Yeah. Or is that
Oh God. They would burn in flames if they were to curse.
Probably. Is it they seem that to be sort of paralleled with Mormons, like you were saying something.
Yeah.
Are they allowed to have like caffeine and stuff like that? Like what sort of restrictions?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so it's
they do serve sweet tea, but I don't think they get to drink that for themselves.
Do they have like special underwear like the Mormons do too?
Oh man, that's a good question.
I don't know the answer to it,
but okay. Man, now I really want to know.
I
will tell you this, they do have a strict law on taking a shower. After every hot shower, they have to take a cold rinse. Eugene, and yeah, there's a lot of Eugene's teachings that I can't go into, but one of them is that the cold water helps to reproduce white blood cells or something biological. It helps to benefit the body.
Yeah, very sciencey.
Is there any sort of backup for that?
I have no idea.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Just check.
I'm just going on what he said. Yeah.
You got to build up your immunities to hot and then crash so you build up your immunities to cold. They even have
teachings on how to cook raw vegetables, how to eat raw vegetables. Should you eat raw vegetables? Should you drink milk? Should you not drink milk? Yeah, there's just so much that goes into this.
I heard that they make all their own clothes. Like,
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to the underwear question, they're making them.
Or they're all hand-me-downs, and they've just been repaired over time. Yeah.
So then once all your stuff, all these people's things are donated to the church...
To the community,
where do they go? Are they just in a central location? If everybody makes their own clothes and stuff like that, like what's up with all the other stuff?
Where's your stuff physically live? I signed up tomorrow and I had a Porsche.
I bring them all my shit.
I was super unfulfilled in my personal life. I was super successful, but I was missing that community. I was lonely and whatnot. So I said, go sign up. I'm like, you guys can have my Porsche. You can have my 4 iPads or whatever.
Yeah.
Where does all that go?
Straight to eBay.
I mean, do they just sell it?
There is a part of me, and this is complete
cruising around.
I was just about to say, this is complete conjecture. I can't confirm this, but I would believe that they pool it, like they host it somewhere, because they don't have storage. Which is, man, now that you say that, I'm like, where do they store their shit?
They have to be.
They have closets and stuff like that. But like when I think about mass storage, I think they just live so minimally that they just require that they try not to. However, it's been said that they have a conference center, so I'm assuming that that's where they would ship their stuff.
Yeah, I imagine. So your Porsche would go to Midnight,
North Carolina.
If I had to guess, they probably can't sell it. Just because it sounds like money's not their deal. But I'd imagine they could trade it for something, like whether it's clothes or foodstuffs. I mean, the Yellow Journal is a business. That has to operate within the law. There's a bank account for that.
I'll say this. This is going to blow your mind.
It's not. I'm completely wrong.
They actually have a trade.
A trade.
Essential oils or soap that Whole Foods buys.
Holy shit.
Huh.
No joke. And you would never know. You can go into Whole Foods right now. I'm not going to give away the name. Yeah. I don't want to be accused of slander or anything like that.
Right.
Well, that may be too late. But Whole Foods buys unknowingly, quote unquote, 12 Tribes products.
I wonder, everything gets, recycled and stuff. Like, if there are any...
Tanner was saying about
they're probably not using iPads, so they got to go somewhere. But clothes wise, are there materials like Old Testament you can't wear like blended fabric? So you got that shirt on, but maybe it's are all clothes able to be recycled, or is it that shirt's the wrong material? We can't put that back in the community.
I'm honestly not sure.
Okay,
I don't know.
There has to be though, because they tend to all have the same sort of style.
Yeah, it's women wear long dresses, long blouses. Men are short sleeves pants.
Yeah,
you won't see them in much else.
They tend to be just plaid sort of shirts.
Yeah,
usually. So
yeah,
if they get a hot looking Express polo shirt,
they will not wear
graphic tee. Yeah.
That would be something that Eugene would get to wear, but the regular tribe members will not.
Yeah, so it makes me wonder,
because they'll fight over it.
Yeah. With Eugene not being here and it being in other cities and it being a global thing, you said, how's the hierarchy work? Like, is there people that report to Eugene?
Cardinals, bishops.
Yeah.
And so they're allowed contact with Eugene and they just kind of shut it down to everybody else? Or?
I think it's open forum.
Yeah.
I think anybody could voice concern. However, you voicing concern to Eugene is running the risk of being doubtful of the validity of what he's teaching. Mm-hmm. So there's always a risk.
Yeah.
So people just learn to shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
But the hierarchy works with Eugene as the top, and it just triangles down to.
Yeah, yeah.
It trickles down to whoever.
What do they call themselves? Like, I go to church. I'm a Christian. Muslim, like what are they? I'm in the group. Am I just a tribesman? Like what?
Yeah, if you were to be recruited today, you would just be a regular member, and then you can
right. But what do they like refer to themselves as? I guess like so we're all recruits. Are we all 12 tribesmen?
My understanding, it was just you're a community member.
Okay.
Yeah, and then from there you can work your way up in authority. That takes years. Yeah, so just okay. Regular mojo.
That's crazy, man. All this is super interesting because, like we were talking, we've been.
I know, I'm hooked.
I know.
Watching
I have
Scientology
so many
documentary.
It parallels it a shitload. It's super close.
Well, that's my point. Right along. Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying earlier. Is that this is so common, yet they all have their own characteristics that it just it all seems like it's unique, but they're just these. It's crazy how. This stuff is.
I mean, it's ridiculously.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Scientology, it's David Miscavige. He's the head guy that's over Scientology. And this guy, what's funny to me is they've got this A&E show with Leah Remini. And at the beginning, they say.
She's amazing, by the way.
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
And they say that they give the church a chance to actually speak out, and they contact them at the beginning of each season. Hey, we're covering this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about it? They don't. They refuse to say anything to them, which they would. They're suppressive people.
Except
at this
point. Being like, you know, they publicly split because of something that they did and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they go do that and then create a slander website against whatever the person is to like. But this is coming from an organization that's supposed to not go on the internet. So they have the same rules where the upper echelon, the rules don't apply to them, you know, like Eugene.
Yeah.
And there are people, their entire thing, their equivalent to the Yellow Deli, I guess, would be the Sea Organization in Scientology. And you can sign up at any age, and you do sign a physical contract. And you sign a contract for $1 billion.
Yeah, billion-year contract.
A billion-year
contract.
Because their whole thing is like, it's not just for this life. You're working to protect the universe and existence from, you know, this evil power and stuff like that. You know, Xandu or whatever.
You're bettering the world.
Sounds like Star Trek.
Xenu.
No, it is like the actual thing they believe.
And
they don't tell you this.
Yeah.
They have levels in Scientology. And, I mean, from what I understand, you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to go up through the levels, and they'll just make more levels at the top.
So you have to pay?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, they love taking your money.
I did not know that.
Yeah, like half $1 million later.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. That's why I was wondering, like day to day in the 12 tribes, like do they, like you were saying, like they don't really take money. Like what do I do? Like I've been doing this for a couple years. Like what have I been doing each day?
It would just be you're submissive to the authority of that.
Yeah, whatever.
But is it like you wake up at 6 a.m., you worship, then you go to work at Yellow Deli, and then you get off, and
yeah, it's probably whatever your
you worship, and then you go to bed, and okay, all right.
Yeah, and I've even heard stories of people who question, and you don't question. If you question, they question your authenticity.
Right.
You know,
do you, when you're worshiping, do you read a Bible or like what kind of texts?
Oh my god. Stop asking all these good I'm serious. Every single question has some key moment to this story. God. Oh man. Okay. You have to make me labor over how I'm going to answer this question. Okay, so you're curious if they're going back to the Bible. I feel like you know these answers.
I don't know these answers.
Bullshit.
I have no idea.
If you knew these answers, you would have told us all that. Yeah,
yeah.
I said, I'm
I wish I knew these answers. Yeah, okay. We're already tuned in to this December show.
Okay, so it would be... say the question one more time. Make sure I got
so,
it.
They're sacred texts.
Yeah, sacred texts. So when I'm worshiping in the Church of the 12 Tribes with whatever we do on like Sunday morning or whatever, whatever that is. I don't know when that is. That's a different question, but
I think it's a Saturday.
Okay. So we get together with the tribe on Saturday and, they pass around some sort of, I don't know, hymnal or worship book that's called something. And what we go through it and someone's like reading from the scriptures or,
I guess you're asking what a service is like.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. So I can tell you what a Friday night is like. Because they have their community gathering that the public is welcome to.
Right.
So it would start off, actually, the one that I went to, there was a family from Germany who had showed up. And they brought their own instruments and stuff like that. They play very eclectic music. The stuff that you hear in the Yellow Deli is what they play, and they write their own music and their own hymns and that sort of thing. Go ahead.
I couldn't place it. I've been there before.
And that's what I'm thinking of, because sometimes the background music is like lyricless instrument, just like instrumental, like mandolin versions of songs I've heard before.
Yeah, it sounds very Celtic.
Yeah, it sounds like
Rivendell.
It's like the times they are a change in, but like on the mandolin or something like that. It's just like,
when you would walk in, you know, they all have a time of, you know, talking, peacemaking, that sort of thing, and then it comes down to they would exchange testimony. Or if you want to get into the order of the service, they would greet one another, and then they have a time of dancing. The dancing is very folky, very, very hippie. It looks like something you would do in a cult. It's very uncomfortable.
Imagine like a barnyard sort of dance.
Yeah, they don't have any farm animals or anything involved, but it's like, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't even saying that as a joke. I imagine like a Western style,
like a nice little hoedown.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You got
some dude playing a fiddle and just
No, I knew you weren't joking. Yeah, it's very.
I mean, it was kind of a joke. So, yeah.
Okay,
it's easy to laugh at.
Yes, it is. The dancing, of course, that's just a way of expression. Like I was telling him, they write their own music. Then they go into a time of testimony where they would share ideas or something that they reflect on from the teaching, and then from that point, they would go into more singing and dancing, and then they have dinner, and then on Saturday nights, those are private community meetings. You would have to be a part of the tribes to be able to participate.
All right.
What?
Which I know about, but I can't.
This is something I wondered. The Yellow Deli. Is yellow somehow special to them, or are they just like the way it sounds?
That's a good question. I actually don't know the answer to that, but I will commit to finding out if the color yellow is valuable to this.
Yeah. Cool.
It probably is. It didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah, they don't seem like the type of group that just takes
everything is intentional. Yeah. Everything has meaning to them. So,
now that's.
So, I might have missed. Do they have a text in this thing at all, or is it like how
oral tradition?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you said they quote the Bible, seemingly.
Yes.
Yeah. So do they use the Bible, or do they use some other sort of text, or can't you answer? The look on your face says maybe I'll have to wait till December.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
That's fine.
You should have kept all this hush in your room. Just gone full Hunter S. Thompson Gonzo style. Joined the cult, wore a GoPro that you dressed up as a bead or something.
A bead.
Like, just full Gonzo, full.
Looking at my necklace, you'll be closer to God.
I have a couple other questions you might.
I can't say that they do reference scripture, but it's incredibly complicated.
And then some.
And to clarify, on December 31st, that's the start of the introduction, and so from there, I'm laying a playing field, so that people know, because this has been complicated, and in all seriousness. What's difficult about this story is that it seems like I'm claiming objectivity in one hand, but I have a gavel in the other, because I'm making a judgment on the 12 tribes. And in no way, shape, or form, and I feel like this needs to be said, do I object to someone's religious liberty? At the same time, though, the stuff that I've heard, I feel like it requires me to come out and say, okay, this is why we're doing what we're doing. But this is where I'm coming from, because I'm in all seriousness, it is so easy to misunderstand someone's take on the stuff
that's very true
I'm going to be dealing with. So And especially now, you can be quoted for just about anything. So, right. Or taken out of context just about for anything. So I feel like it's essential because I don't reject someone's ability to. I mean, they have just as much freedom to practice their religion or their practices as much as I do to investigate as to why. Mm-hmm.
I'm the type of, I've got no problem. Anybody can believe whatever they want to believe, and I've got no problem with it. But when you start using those beliefs to infringe upon other people's rights as human being, that's the shit that bothers me and gets under my skin. And that's why this interests me. It's like, okay, yeah, some of these people, and you may even be able to ask them, like, in their opinion, they're better off at the 12 tribes because, A, they're not sucking dicks in a ditch for heroin. Or to put whatever. It politely. Yeah. And so to them, and that's probably an extreme case, but still, it's not happening. So to them, they're in a better place. But
it's actually not an extreme case, just so you know.
Okay, yeah. So there we go. So to them, I'm sure they would say, like, yeah, this has turned my life around and blah, blah, blah. Definitely it has. That serving sandwiches to people and not really getting paid for it
is
definitely better than sucking dicks in a ditch for heroin.
Not that we judge people for sucking dicks in a ditch for heroin. If that's your thing, feel free to practice
it. Right, yeah. We're only going to judge.
But some people just don't like
else.
Doing that. Yeah. And we got to respect that.
And,
dude, you are the...
Thanks for
I love you. I really do. Like, he's just like that extra voice in a conversation. That's always... I love that. Oh... You're adorable.
That's what I was going for.
It just makes it too adorable I'm sure there are people in there. If you went and asked them, like, hey, I'll get you out of here today, they wouldn't leave. And so it's those people that I forget where I was going with this at the beginning.
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah. You were on the lines of, I'm going to quote you, sucking dicks in a ditch.
We got that sign.
Their lives have apparently
now.
Been changed because of it.
Yeah.
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 And granted, there's true stories of people who, but that's what makes it so complicated is that you can look at someone's life and you can see change. But just the content of the story that I'm digging into is to show that it shows how incredibly deceptive people can be, how easily deceptive
deceptive.
I want to say naive that people can be, because if I were to go out and do a public forum right now, I guarantee you the majority of the people will know what I talk about when I say the Yellow Deli. But if I say, what do you think about the 12 tribes? They have no idea.
Right.
None. Mm-hmm. And so there's a need to make sure that there's a relationship between the two and public consciousness. In my opinion, I think and it's not to say that people need to go out and riot against religion. It's to hold, and I say this as a Christian, it's to hold people accountable to ethical means of, engaging other people, and obviously the 12 tribes have infringed on that. So.
Yeah, I could agree with that. So, I remember seeing a Facebook post you made the other day saying you'd been condemned. But what exactly did you mean by that?
Okay, so the problem with that is that I can't 100% confirm that. That was told through one person who told through another who was close to the 12 tribes. What is believed is that there was a group meeting between the men. And this happens quite often. Men will meet with men. Women will meet with women to discuss gender relative issues.
Right.
And the conversation I had about me was they knew I had been there. They invited me to be there. They invited me to be at the 12 tribes. I believe that someone's been leaking this information to the 12 tribes to let them know, hey, there's something going on.
Yeah.
Because this is not the first time that this has happened. This is a completely different forum, though. It's never been done in a podcast forum. It's never been done as like a once for all, let's solve this shit kind of deal. I think they're a little on edge.
Yeah.
Scare me.
Got something to hide.
Which is, oh my God, even as you say that, because the thing is, when I went to the Friday night meeting, there was a guy waiting outside for me, And that kind of leads me to a story if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
When I was there.
Okay.
Let's do it. I didn't want to break your time or anything.
No, we're flexible.
The only thing that Alan and I have to do later is fucking D&D, and those assholes can wait. it's at my house. The door's locked.
Like, okay.
All right. They can
wait.
Okay,
before the story, before I forget the questions, I got two of them. Okay. Number one is
let me forget the story.
Is this something you're just doing alone, or do you have like a team?
I have a crew. Yeah. Okay.
And then the other question that I've already forgot: what does being condemned, and assuming whatever information you have is true, what does being condemned entail?
It would mean that I am apostate and that I'm either of Satan or I oppose the true religion,
right?
Or the true church, which is what they consider themselves.
Okay.
So, and that leads me into
this story?
Weaving story. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so whenever I went to the Friday night community gathering, this was months ago. This was long before I had the idea to record. So I show up, and there's a man sitting out on the front porch, and he starts the conversation by saying, "We have nothing to hide." And that just leaves me all sorts of curious. Like, that's
supposed to be.
I wanted to say, sir, that's supposed. You're not supposed to say that. Whatever.
Yeah, you're bad at this.
You said the quiet part loud.
At this point, did he know who you were?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Because they had already invited me to be at the Yellow Deli, but I am convinced to this day that they prepared for me to be there.
Yeah.
So I show up. And the reason why I know that is because his questions were extremely pointed. It wasn't like, "Oh, hey, what's your name?" He already knew. So they were waiting for me. I know I sound like Alex Jones, like I'm some conspiracy theorist, but you know what I mean.
It's I knew they saw me when I was standing there on the porch. You're not nearly loud enough.
I could try, but you know what I mean. It's hard to hear people talk about this sort of stuff, but. This is just my experience. So he and I were talking a little bit, and then we eventually went inside, and I saw the German family come through. Incredibly beautiful people. Like, it threw me off as to how gorgeous these people were. And then I looked a little closer, and it was scary. We got into the house, and there was already a gathering happening. And we're talking, and we're meeting around, and I've already kind of hinted at this before. As to what entails in the worship service, but what happened during the worship service that really, really threw me off, and this leads into a whole nother conversation. One of the elders standing across from me at the other side of the room stuck around, and I never noticed because I was shooting photography at that time, so I'm taking photos of them dancing and stuff like that. So he comes around, and behind me is a doorway that leads into a sitting room, kind of like what we're sitting in now. That doorway, the door was shut. The door wasn't locked, but it was shut, completely shut. He comes behind me, and he swings open that door from behind me, and I can feel the wind of it as he's opening it, and he puts his hand, and this is going to sound so meaningless, but he puts his hand on my shoulder, he's like, "Hey, let's get some air in here." That was it. Never said another word. The problem with that is that that was intentional. That was intentional for me to feel uneasy. That was intentional for me to feel like I should be on edge.
Yeah.
And the reason, a good question is why? Why would they do that?
Mm-hmm.
That gives them the opportunity to be generous to me.
Mm-hmm.
So as to convince me, while I have questions in my mind, why would you do that? That gives them the opportunity to go and affirm their generosity, quote unquote, or to leave me more convinced. Oh wow, that didn't mean anything, but this means something, an act of generosity. Or they even sent food home with me. They were very, very careful to make sure that I was taken care of, that I was talked to, treated fairly. Although one woman in the kitchen when I went in with my camera outright said, "Why are you here?" And my relationship to the women was extreme. It was polar opposite to my experience with the men. Yeah,
that's interesting.
And that leads into a whole conversation of patriarchy that is entirely pervasive in the 12 tribes.
You mentioned that a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
with the leadership and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's a male dominated society, if you want to call it that. And So as meaningless as that swinging of the door open sounds, there's actually studies that suggest that's a plot, that at some subconscious level, that's what they'll do to dominate the situation.
Yeah.
I'll share this. I cannot go into any more detail than what I'm about to tell you. A woman that I have interviewed, she and her husband were at the 12 Tribes, and she was visiting her husband who had recently joined, and she and her husband were sitting at the table, and a phone call came at the Yellow Deli, their phone, mm-hmm. not her cell phone, their phone, for her. There was no explanation as to why that phone call would be for her. She had not planned that. She did not anticipate a phone call. That phone call, she vaguely remembers, and her story is going to be mentioned in the podcast, but she vaguely remembers the reason for the phone call. But her husband then responded after she hung up. He said, "Wow, I actually feel like, someone mentioned that God was going to call you today." And so what does that mean? That means that that was a spiritual moment that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
That was a plot. And that was during a time when this woman was going through the trauma of losing her husband to the 12 Tribes. He had recently joined. He left her. They had a month. They had a baby that was 9 months old. They had been married about 6 months old, 9 months old. They had been married for just over a year. And she lost him to the 12 Tribes. He completely abandoned her. They recruited him.
And the baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so she was left to her own devices. And to convince her that she needed to be submissive to her husband, they set up that moment in the restaurant to convince her that she needed to be a part of the 12 Tribes. So
was she part of the 12 Tribes?
No, no. And I can't go into any more detail on that story.
No, I got you.
But that was just to give you an example of the depth of...
I was going to ask what happened.
I wasn't joking when I said that.
If you're married and one person goes into the Tribes, do they...
If you were married right now and your wife left you and she went and joined the 12 Tribes, or let's say it's the opposite.
Okay.
If you joined, mm-hmm. because she is meant to be submissive to you, their idea of her is that she's a whore.
Okay.
And that she is unfit to be your wife until she comes and joins you. Yeah.
But what if it's the other way? She goes in and I'm not buying her.
I think it would be the same thing because your marriage is a spiritual contract,
right?
So
you got to do it together.
Yeah, and so while you will, at the end of the day, according to the 12 Tribes, I don't personally believe this. You at the end of the day make all the final decisions.
Yeah.
You would still need to be joined with her because, as Scripture says, you are one flesh.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you don't, then you're cheating on your wife, essentially.
Unlike the Mormon thing, there's no polygamy going on. It's
one man, one wife.
How about the gay thing? Are they
totally against homosexual marriage? Totally against it. Okay. Yeah. Any sort of homosexual activity is condemned.
What about other races?
They do have African Americans a part of the 12 Tribes. No. Gosh, I gotta know if I'm... Oh, man. This is hard. I'm trying to decide. Oh, man. I didn't think about this. Damn it.
My bad.
Damn you, Jared.
I asked the hard questions.
Unfortunately, I can't answer that.
I've always said we ask the hard questions.
I really want to answer that question, but I can't. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
There's definitely, I promise you, it's coming, so.
All right.
No, I'm super excited to see this come December.
I know, me too.
I'm very excited about this, because.
I know you're still probably gathering content and everything, but do you see this being like how many episodes are you looking at? Or how long is this going to go on for?
There's going to be a limited number. I kind of feel like it's up and vanished, because he recorded developments of the story as they happened.
Who's he?
I forget his name. He's the host of Up and Vanished.
Oh, okay.
It was about a woman in Georgia who had went missing and they couldn't figure it out. And because of the podcast, they were able to make some serious developments in her absence.
Right on.
just like Serial, you know.
Right.
Season season one, because of season one, I believe season one was the beginning of a new trial for Adnan Syed. It's insane the power that it comes with podcasting.
Because I consider podcasting part of the documentary.
Ask your question again when we're done. Sorry about that.
And it's like, what was that show, The Jinx, on HBO?
I haven't seen that, no.
That was all about, there's this guy, Robert Durst, that murdered some people and got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did this whole documentary called The Jinx on this guy, Robert Durst. And he revealed while they were making the documentary just about sort of how he got away with it. Well, while filming it, he went to the bathroom and left his mic on, and he's like tweaking out in the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I murdered them all.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I killed them all.
Like, oh my God.
And it opened up a whole new investigation because they literally had him on the record straight up just saying, I murdered them. And so it opened up a whole
new investigation. Wait, who is this? Say that name.
Robert Durst was the guy, but it's on HBO. It's called The Jinx.
Oh, my God.
It's insane. So that's this sort of format of stuff, I mean, like I said, I consider podcasts part of the documentary format.
Yeah,
yeah. It can blow some shit open, man, if done right.
Yep.
So, you know, and this Scientology thing with A&E that Leah Remini's doing.
Yeah.
She's trying to push some legal action. They've got a federal prosecutor.
Yeah, she makes it very plain. She wants justice.
Yeah.
She started that.
But they are Scientology's taking everyone's money. So they've lawyered. They're like Westboro Baptist Church. Like,
yeah,
they're lawyers who will sue you into oblivion.
And much like the 12 tribes, they have an attorney in defense every case against the 12 tribes.
Well, I mean, if
so they are lawyered up.
Franchised and all that. They definitely have their
shit
taken care of legally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Want anybody that,
and they're not hurting for money, you know, so it doesn't hurt them to go to trial or to face a legal accusation here or there. So.
Do they have a tax exemption?
I don't think so because they can't for the Yellow Deli because it's a business. Yeah. So since they live off of that business, I don't think that they do. Huh. And there have been IRS accusations before. At least that's what I've heard. But for the best part, no, they pay taxes. Yeah.
Wow. Where does the money from Yellow Deli go? And like when I tip my servers, where does that go?
Physically, I don't know. And I don't know if some resources that I have know. I really don't know. I don't know if they even have a bank account.
They have to have a bank account, for the business.
They make money, right? Like, so. Yeah, people go there, they buy
it. I know it's a logical thing to say that someone has a bank account, but I'm saying, like, I don't.
Right. I'm sure it's not, like, attached to a general manager or something, but, like, Yellow Deli LLC has some sort of...
it's a hole in the ground.
Yeah, like, you need it could be, but you need some sort of bank account to, like, operate a business to get it licensed.
Look next to the tomatoes and the celery, you'll find our...
If I had to guess at pure conjecture, it's pooled, probably donated to the greater fund and used to, like, pay rent or buy.
Yeah, you never make
the
base a dime.
Thing, like, keep the lights on.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, upcycle stuff.
Why not?
Upcycle Porsches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we're running out of time,
I have one more question.
You wrote it on a coaster.
I wrote them because I had so many answers,
man.
I'll go quickly.
It's okay. You won't be able to answer them.
You won't be able to answer. You very well may not be able to answer this one. Is there a history of violence in the upper echelons of the church? Same way with like Scientology, we've seen. Or, I mean, even with, like, the Catholic Church and young boys and stuff like that.
Paraphrase that one more time. Sorry.
Evidence of violence or law
or
breaking.
Molestation or something like that. Any evidence of that?
Sexual TBD. Or physical aggression.
Right.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. And,
that was
I'm in the market for a new cult. Why... the 12 tribes over any of these others?
Oh, man. I would never want to answer that question.
I don't think you're not. Well, you might be. I don't
people,
know.
I don't think people shop for coats. It's like, yeah.
I'm not on Match.com for a coat, you know?
I was like, these are you know, just quick questions. I just wrote down things that came to mind. So they're not all going to be winners.
Why
right?
Yellow Deli?
I'm starting to think he's serious about this.
Why should, yeah. You know,
like, I'm looking for community and belonging and acceptance. Why should I choose?
Why should I choose your... Yeah, why should I choose the Church of the Twelve Tribes? But I kind of already asked you, like, what do they have to offer me? Like,
who yeah.
So I kind of already asked that question. So never mind. So those are my two final final questions. They cannot be winners. So.
Cool.
I got one last question before we wrap up here. Is are we going to be banned from the Yellow Deli after this?
No. I don't think they've actually ever formally banned anyone.
Okay.
But the people that they do ban are probably just not interested in going anyway. So, yeah. And I don't think it matters. So, yeah.
Well, cool.
I think you're good.
Yeah.
I want to get you back once, maybe like
after all is said and done,
start of January.
Oh yeah.
Let's get you back. I want to do a follow up or maybe while you're unveiling all this.
Yeah. That would be helpful so that whatever I do get out, that would make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
However, we have covered a lot. So, but there's still so much.
Seminar class.
Yeah.
And yeah,
granted, I'm not a professional, but I mean, there are professionals out there, but I've definitely learned a lot. So
yeah.
Did I tell you he was born in Eastridge, by the way?
Eastridge.
Yeah, he was born in Eastridge. Okay, Eastridge. Sorry, I meant to clarify Eastridge. So there you go.
Sweet.
This has been very enlightening.
Yeah, it's been incredibly enlightening.
Thank you so much.
Hey, no problem.
No, let's get you back like mid-December when you're in the middle of all this.
That would be cool.
You said it starts. When? December 31st?
I'm releasing an introduction on December 31st. And that's, like I said, just a lay of playing field for the whole podcast. And then we can't confirm a date yet in 2018, but we will be releasing episodes in 2018.
Cool.
It's definitely coming. So.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that's super
exciting.
Yeah.
No,
so,
it's
going
to be great. Yeah.
Well, I thank you for joining us, Sheldon.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you for having some beers.
The beer was fantastic.
Yeah, we only went through like
two.
Yeah,
we had a
yeah.
whole six pack here. We were enamored.
Yeah, but this has been 102?
I think 102.
102.
102.
Page. Yeah, this has been episode 102
of
the
Brew Chat
Podcast.
Yeah,
thanks.